We're here on the last case of the calendar, Lionel Alford versus Walton County. Counsel, are you prepared to argue?
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much.
May I please the court? Ken Seifert, along with my colleague Josh Pratt, with the law firm of Holtzman Vogel, on behalf of the appellates. Of all the COVID mandates levied by hundreds, if not thousands, of governments across the United States, Walton County is the only government to pass an ordinance that made it a crime for a property owner to enter, sit, or stand on their own privately owned property. The county attempts to justify this extreme action as reasonable. However, the mere fact that it cannot point to a single government in Florida or elsewhere that criminalized a landowner entering its own property as a necessity to stop COVID demonstrates exactly how unreasonable and extreme the ordinance really is. And the county knew its ordinance preventing landowners from accessing their own privately owned property at the request of the sheriff to make enforcement of a public beach closure easier was illegal, as the county attorney advised the board that they could not, quote, keep beachfront property owners from using their private property. With this backdrop, the county intentionally adopted its ordinance to prevent appellants and other beachfront landowners from using their privately owned property.
And I'd like to just discuss the record for a second. My understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, the properties in this case involve, they're actually not quite, they're not very large. Let's say they're like 10,000 square feet, but they go from one part from of the parcel all the way to the high main, correct? Right. And for purposes of some of the individuals, most of them were prohibited from accessing or using at least a third of their property, i.e. really what it is the backyard. It's what we would all call the backyard, except here the backyard happened to also include part of the beach.
That's correct, Your Honor. And there was one property specifically, the Sandy Shores Property Owners Association. Their entire property was seaward of the dune, and it was completely covered by the ordinance in this case, so they could not utilize any of its property. And with respect to the action by the Walton County's ordinance, Your Honor, it violated no less than four constitutional amendments, and I want to focus on the first two being the Fifth Amendment physical taking and the Fourth Amendment seizure.
Can I ask you one more question? Is that law enforcement officers also came onto private property where private owners were accessing and enjoying their property and were told to either go back inside or they would be arrested?
That is correct. There's evidence in the record from Mr. Harlica as well as Mr. Taylor.
And the law enforcement officers in these cases were on private property as opposed to on the public part of the beach.
That is correct. The lifeguards, the sheriff's deputies, and code enforcement officers continuously occupied and patrolled the private dry sand area that was known to be private property, and in many instances sat on property at the end of boardwalks to prevent landowners from stepping onto that dry sand area. And I believe there's a picture on page 16 of our brief of a sheriff's deputy sitting on a four-wheeler at the end of a boardwalk to prevent landowners from possessing the property.
And those boardwalks or the walkovers, those are part of the private property of that particular property owner.
That's correct, Your Honor. Right. And turning to the Fifth Amendment takings in this case.
Let me ask you this. You engage in a talk on the seizure and the Fifth Amendment taking. If you win on one of those claims, the other one doesn't matter.
That would be correct, Your Honor. That would be our position.
There's no difference in the damages, for example, between the Fifth Amendment taking and a Fourth Amendment seizure, is there?
Not in this case, no, Your Honor.
Okay, I just want to make sure. When I was in your position years ago, I always liked those kind of questions.
And I do appreciate them, Your Honor. Turning to the Fifth Amendment taking, Your Honor, the recent U.S. Supreme Court case of Cedar Point Nursery versus Assad in 2021 is controlling in this case. There, the U.S. Supreme Court unequivocally held, and I quote, "Whenever a regulation results in the physical appropriation of property, a per se taking occurred and Penn Central has no place." They went on to find, and I quote, "Government action that physically appropriates property is no less a physical taking because it arises from a regulation." Here in this case, we're dealing with fundamental property rights, and there are multiple strands within that property rights bundle. And the U.S. Supreme Court and U.S. versus General Motors Corporation in 1945 identified five strands. One, the right to possess. Two, the right to control. Three, the right to exclude. Four, the right to enjoy. And five, the right to dispose. The ordinance in this case appropriates the plaintiff's right to exclude, the right to possess, the right to enjoy, and the right to control. Again, as noted in Cedar Point, they defined appropriate to mean taking as one's own. And Cedar Point further teaches us that a per se physical taking arises when a regulation appropriates the owner's right to exclude.
This case, it wasn't just that they were prohibited from using their property, but they were told that they would be criminally sanctioned if they dared to use their physical property, their personal property.
That's correct, Your Honor, and that goes back to the reasonableness and the extremeness of this ordinance, because there's not another one.
If you wanted to stand on your boardwalk or in your backyard or sit in a chair, you were potentially exposed to criminal liability.
That is correct, Your Honor. And again, Mr. Harlicka was threatened with arrest if he didn't leave the beach, and he willingly left the beach upon the sheriff's deputy telling him he would be arrested. And going back to Cedar Point, again, it dealt with one strand of the property right bundle, the right to exclude. And the United States Supreme Court held when that right was physically appropriated by the state of California, compensation was due. It was a per se physical taking. By the regulation in Cedar Point, the government of California said, we now have the right to exclude the government, and we're going to allow these union workers or associations to invade your property for 3 hours a day, 120 days a year. In our case, we're dealing with more than one strand of the bundle. Here, the county took the right to exclude, the right to possess, the right to control, and the right to enjoy. For 29 days during this ordinance, the landowners did not possess those. The day before the ordinance went into effect, they possessed every one of them.
Let me ask you a question about, this is a question about basically whether this is a Cedar Point nursery case or a Penn Central case. So how would you address this hypothetical? So let's say a city passes an ordinance that says, in the event of a known gas leak, people within, 300 yards of that gas leak cannot go into their houses for the next 7 days, and the only occupants of those facilities can be emergency personnel, under the auspices of the city. Would that be a taking? And first, would that be a taking? Two, if it is a taking, would that be a Penn Central taking, or would that be a Cedar Point nursery taking?
Yeah, I think it would depend exactly on what the order was and if it was mandatory in a sense of...
Yes, mandatory. You cannot, it's the same thing here. You cannot go in your house if there is a gas leak, and you can't go in your house if it's within 300 yards of a gas leak, and you can't do it for 7 days.
Yeah, I don't think that would be necessarily a per se taking in the case, because I think Cedar Point kind of addresses this issue when it pointed to some of the concerns in the dissent as to whether... events such as that would result in a taking versus a trespass. And they pointed to the background principles of state law in the Lucas case that says if there's a nuisance being created, then that doesn't create a taking in the sense, because you never had the right to create or maintain a nuisance in this case. And I think that line of argument would apply here, that there's a nuisance that's existing and they're making you not... allowing you onto your property based on that nuisance existing. And again, that would be temporary. But in this case, it was an intentional act by the county that took those rights. So for 29 days, my clients didn't have the rights. The county had the rights. Now, in this case, the county exercised those four rights, those four strands of the property bundle, and gave it to the law enforcement, gave it to code enforcement, gave it to the lifeguards and the fire department to patrol and possess that property. And so they physically held the same rights that the government of California did with respect to the property of the grape and strawberry farmers. They chose to allow their employees access to the property. They did not choose to allow third parties access to the property. They could have during those 29 days, but they didn't.
Well, they excluded the property owners themselves.
Exactly. So they possessed, they appropriated, they took the right to exclude as their own, the county did, and then they exercised
the property owners could not exclude law enforcement, because normally law enforcement doesn't come onto private property unless they have a warrant or there's exigent circumstances, because what we're dealing with here is a criminal issue. If the property owner was on the in their backyard or in their back deck, they're going to be told by law enforcement that they're going to be taken to the county jail.
That is correct, Your Honor. And before April 2nd, 2020, the landowners had the right to exclude law enforcement, code enforcement, and everybody else. And on May 1st, they had that right again. But during those 29 days, the county had it. And Cedar Point also teaches us.
Let me ask you just this other hypothetical to sort of try to get around your nuisance response to my previous hypothetical. I mean, let's say that there are wildfires, right? So you're in a place where it's susceptible to fires, and the county has an ordinance that says, you know, if you're within 1 mile of a fire, you can't be in your house, and the only people who can be there are law enforcement personnel. Is that a taking?
I would think it would be if it was subject to criminal, whether it's...
Right, yeah, I mean, it's basically a public safety measure that says, for your own safety, you're not allowed on your own private property.
It certainly could be, and the question, I think, in this case is, did the county appropriate that property physically? Did they then exercise the rights of your property bundles?
Yeah, if that's a taking, I mean, so would that be a taking? Would the only question there be the remedy, which is how much does the government have to pay you for kicking you off your private property for your own safety?
No, and I think it's, when it comes to those types of issues, it's up to the landowner to decide to leave. Just like during a hurricane, a local government say it's a mandatory evacuation, but it's not mandatory. Yes, Judge Carnes.
If New Orleans, you've got a hurricane dead set on New Orleans, every weather predictor predicts it's going to hit, and it's going to be 50% stronger than Katrina. So you're telling me that the local authorities can't mandatorily force people to leave their homes, order them to leave their homes without paying compensation as a taking. That violates the Fifth Amendment. I'm sorry. It kicks in the Fifth Amendment's taking clause.
Your Honor, with respect to the mandatory hurricane evacuations, while they're known as mandatory, they're not, they're voluntary.
They are mandatory, not
hypothetical. Okay, thank you, Your Honor.
The National Guard going door to door saying, we understand there's three children in here. You can have yourself washed away, but not the children. We're taking this house and expelling you from it.
If they
actually... Fifth Amendment taken.
Yes, if they exercise the physical possession of those rights to exclude, and they exclude you from your property under those circumstances, then yes, it would be. And I know I'm running over on my time. I would like to reserve the rest, please.
You may answer. Did he answer the question for you, Judge Carnes?
Well, the subsidiary question is, do you pay the takings damages based on pre-landfall or post-landfall?
Thank you, Your
Honor. Thank you. You have time remaining for rebuttal. Thank you. Mr. Warner.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the court. Judge Lagoa, let me address something that you...
Could you speak in the microphone a little bit more?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, great.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor. Let me address an issue that you raised in your conversation with the appellant, and that is whether or not these property owners would have been in jeopardy of arrest for sitting on their decks or on their walkways, what have you. The ordinance in this case keyed off of the county's beach activities ordinance, which defined the term beach as from the toe of the dune line, the vegetation in the dunes, seaward down to the main high water line. There's no question in this case that these owners held title to property upland of that, as well as down to the mean high water line. And below that, seaward as sovereign land and then into the Gulf of Mexico, which of course are sovereign waters. Let me address the ordinance itself. And for context,
but there is testimony in the record that there was, I can't remember who it was, he was on his boardwalk or the walkover, however you want to call it, with another person, and he was told that he needed to leave and go back inside.
I don't think it's accurate. I think the admonitions from the law enforcement officers were, you're not allowed to be on the beach, which would be...
Right, but there were several individuals who testified that they told law enforcement, this is my private property that you're on, because their private property goes to the main high water line. That includes the beach.
It does include the beach. But what I'm saying is, the distinction is, this ordinance was limited to that area from the toe of the dunes.
Okay, so let me ask you a hypothetical.
Okay.
I own a piece of property, and I have a house, and I have a backyard. It's not fenced in. Can you come and put install a fence in my backyard and then tell me that I'm not allowed to access a portion of my private property?
Of course not.
Okay, but so what's the difference here?
There's a huge difference. Number one, as this court has recognized in the case of Wending versus Reddington Beach, Florida beaches hold a very special significance under Florida law. The thing about the beaches, and especially in this case in Walton County, as plaintiffs has emphasized, or appellants have emphasized in their brief, Walton County, the primary attraction to Walton County are these 26 miles, essentially, of pristine white sand beaches.
Of public beaches. There's a difference between public beaches and private beaches, correct?
Legally, with regard to title, there is, but here's the distinction, Your Honor. A person who's on the beach cannot tell where private beach is or public beach is.
That's not true, counsel. Almost all Floridians know where the high water mark is, and that you have a designation, and some boardwalks belong to the private houses that are on the beach line.
Well, Your Honor, I disagree with you. In Walton County, while you have a lot of private properties that are owned down to the mean high water line, there are adjacent properties that are publicly owned. What I'm saying is, if a person is walking along the beach, they cannot necessarily tell whether they are on your property or public property or other property where they might be allowed to be. And anyone observing those persons cannot tell.
So are you suggesting that Walton County could come to Mr. Alford's property and let's see Mr. Alford was area acres that include the beach is 0.28. Can they come in and put a fence around the 0.28 acres of Mr. Alford?
Of course not.
Then why isn't this the same thing? I mean, it's the same thing, right?
It's absolutely not the same.
Okay, how is it not the same thing?
Let me address this a couple ways. Number one, to your question about whether or not this is a Cedar Point versus a Penn Central taking. It's clearly not a Cedar Point taking because this is a use restriction. This is a regulation that applied to everyone that had the effect of impacting these owners' use of their property for this limited time. That's the difference. It did not invite anyone onto their property. It did not...
You did invite onto their property because law enforcement was on their property, private property, and they were not able to exclude law enforcement from their property.
Law enforcement was only on the property with regard to the enforcement of this public safety ordinance. This is a police power ordinance.
It's a public safety ordinance that was deemed necessary by Walton County for the limited resources of enforcing Executive Order 2091, except for the fact that 2091, the executive order signed by the governor, allowed essential activities like walking and swimming and things that people do on the beach.
Here's the difference, Rhonda. The purpose of this ordinance was not to enforce social distancing. The governor, and for context, please recall, this ordinance was enacted within the first 30 days or so of the governor declaring an emergency and issued a series of escalating executive orders recognizing the concern about the spread of COVID, persons coming in from other states, persons, and this ordinance was about stopping or deterring people from coming to Walton County in the board's view, in recognition of these ratcheting up of restrictions imposed by the governor's executive orders.
But then there's testimony that from the homeowners that people were walking up and down and biking and doing all sorts of things in front of their property, but private owners were not allowed to use their own private property and go onto their property and use part of the beach that belonged to them.
The biking was on is not on the beach.
This I understand that. That's the irony. It's called irony.
here's a question I have that goes to a question that Judge Carnes asked opposing counsel, which is there a difference between the Fourth Amendment and Fifth Amendment in this case, in this respect? Let's say that I think that what Walton County did here was a good thing, and it was smart of them to do it, and they should be applauded for doing it. Let's just assume, for the sake of this question, I think that. It could still be a taking, right, that they have to pay just a compensation for.
Well, I think if you determined it was a per se physical taking, under your point, absolutely. I don't think the justification for the ordinance has anything to do with that.
Yeah, and then if that's the case, I mean, I don't know how much money you're looking at, but I mean, you deprive people of walking on a portion of their property for 30 days. I mean, that's the cost of the taking, right?
It would just be damages, whatever the damages end up being.
Well, it would be. That's true. But again, if this is not a Cedar Point taking, which I say it's not, then you look at the Penn Central factors. And really, there's really no record testimony, evidence with regard to economic impact, which is the primary consideration of Penn Central. But even if you spot that, if you look at the third element, the character of the governmental action, this is where I think it's significant to recognize both the timing and the context of when this ordinance was enacted. Again, we're looking back now where we know there are vaccines, there's treatments, there's all sorts of things. No one knew what was going on back at that time frame. And Judge Hinkle recognized in his order that this happened at a point in time very early on when people were basically, and I'm sure the court can recall, were scared to death. There was no vaccine, any treatment was not even on the horizon.
But you're allowing, I'm sorry, Judge Grimes, but you, that is true. But Walton County didn't close down businesses like a supermarket. You didn't close down hardwood stores. You didn't close down other businesses. Instead, you excluded property owners from being able to access their property that was just theirs.
Your Honor, with all due respect, no one was coming to Walton County, Florida to go to Walmart or going to a hardwood store. They were coming because of the beaches. That's the attractant to Walton County. Appellants recognize that. That's where they say, look, we bought this property because of these beaches. That is what the Board of County Commissioners was attempting to do for this very limited time period, exercising their police powers due to this public health hazard to deter people from flooding into the county, consistent with these concerns that were being put forth by the governor in his executive orders at the time. Of course, now, our political situation in Florida, certainly, you know, there's no way. I'm sorry. Yes, sir.
Council, please, let me ask you this. You're saying that a regulatory taking, it does matter what the government's purpose or motivation was?
I'm not saying that it matters what the government's purpose was. I'm saying that the character of the activity, in this case, this is where the whole issue about...
It's not talking about the character of the government. It's talking about the character in the sense of the nature
right.
of the taking, the nature of what we did.
Exactly.
And what I was trying to get you to say was, you agree, don't you, that the motive, the purpose, the pristine intent of the government is irrelevant in a taking, whether it's a per se taking or a regulatory taking.
I think the motive of the government, but we're talking about the character of their action, and in this situation, the character of their action is the exercise of a police power in a public health emergency, and the nature of that is something that factors, and it's the third factor, I think, in a Penn Central analysis.
So
you're saying that if they're doing it because it's a public emergency, they can take property regulatorily, take property?
I'm saying it's not a taking in those circumstances under Penn Central.
So they can do two things, two different cases. And one, they're doing it because there's a public emergency, that hurricane is bearing down on us. And on the second one, there's no public emergency. They just want to make it nicer for some festival that's going to be held next door to a private beach. They don't want people on the private beach interfering with the enjoyment of the public. And they temporarily take it. So you're saying that that makes the difference. Taking for one is not a taking of the Fifth Amendment. Taking for the other is a taking.
I'm saying under these circumstances, in a public health emergency, that under the Penn Central factors, it is not a taking. That's what I'm saying. This regulation, which just limited the owner's use of their property for this limited period of time, under these circumstances, renders it not a taking under Penn Central.
And where in Penn Central does it say that?
Well, under Penn Central, and really, I guess it's echoed in Cedar Point, that the regulation of a use of an owner's property, even if it destroys their bundle of rights, that it can be justified and is considered under the Penn Central analysis, right? So let me cite a case. Here's a Sixth Circuit case from August of 22. And I'm going to slaughter this first name, but it's Bojicic, I'm going to say, B-O-J-I-C-I-C versus DeWine, which is a case that dealt with the closure of some dance studios. They were ordered closed from March 20th of 2020 through May the 22nd of 2020. And then analyzing the Penn Central factors, the court said, look, economically, you know, you got them on that one. But they said, but the third factor, the character of the government action weighs even more heavily in defendant's favor. This factor is dispositive for two reasons. First, the action was taken to protect public health by reacting quickly in the face of a fast-spreading novel virus. The plaintiffs criticized this conclusion as demonstrating unconscious or implicit bias towards the official government narrative on the dangers posed by COVID-19 and the unscientific methods for containment. This extraordinary assertion is present without any factual support and beyond the fact that it presupposes conspiratorial bad faith on the part of a variety of state officials. But it also ignores the fact that these orders were issued at the very beginning of the pandemic, when no government official could possibly have had any kind of information about the efficacy of those particular actions that the plaintiffs demand. Second, the shutdown orders were in effect for only a little over 2 months.
Could give us citation for you, say some of your argument time.
Yeah. Absolutely. This is a Westlaw site at 2022 Westlaw 3585636. This is an unreported Sixth Circuit opinion from August 22nd, 2022.
So can I ask you a question about that? So the thing that differentiates this ordinance, in my mind, from ordinances like that is there were many, many places that said your business cannot operate, or your business cannot have more than 10 customers at once, or whatever. Those seem like those are Penn Central style questions, and so the question there is, what does that regulation do to my bundle of rights? This one says no one can walk on this land. No one can stand here. Doesn't matter what you're using it for, doesn't matter how many people you have, you just can't be there at all.
Right.
That in my mind, seems to make this more like a Cedar Point nursery issue. What do you say about that?
Well, I'd say the difference there is that the county did not appropriate the owner's property for itself or a third party. It imposed a regulation, again, that had effect of only limiting
but
the owner's
property. But you're treating it just as a Penn Central, but what the county did was completely exclude a private property owner from using their property, and not just their property, but everything. But in this case, it's their private property. How is that not a complete and absolute taking or per se taking?
Because it was only a regulation of the
I think that's a semantic issue. Is it a regulation of use if I say you are not allowed to use this property for anything?
But right? Here's the difference, Your Honor. Under Cedar Point, the essential question is whether the government has physically taken property for itself or someone else, or instead restricted the property owner's ability to use his own property. And that's at page 2072.
Right, and you restricted the property owner's ability to use their own property. They were not even allowed to stand on it.
Right.
But he's saying that's Penn Central.
Correct.
All right. Correct. So Penn Central is restriction on use of property. You're saying that's what this is, and so we should follow the Penn Central test.
If it is, yes.
Right. And I guess and just to press on that just a little bit more, I mean, usually in a Penn Central situation, the argument is, you know, by restricting my use of this property, you have diminished its value, and that is what I'm seeking damages for. Here, it's really more to go to, I think, Judge Lagoa's hypothetical. It's really more, you haven't damaged me economically by diminishing sort of the value of the property. You built a fence around a part of my property and just wouldn't let me on it or to do anything on it for a certain period of time. Why isn't that kind of injury? You built a fence around it, I couldn't even access it. More of a Cedar Point nurturing kind of injury.
Because again, I think it's the circumstances under which this occurred. I don't think there was a fence built around.
But you had already conceded that we don't look to the justification if it's a per se taking.
Exactly.
Why do I care what the justification is for the reason that you passed the ordinance?
Well, the reason for the passage of the ordinance doesn't make any difference if you are determining that there is a per se tanking. I think that's what Cedar Point said point blank.
Right. So why isn't this? I mean, I guess just, I mean, and I don't mean to just kind of go back and forth and we're kind of repeat ourselves, but I mean just. In some meaningful way, what distinguishes this from a situation where the county just goes around and builds fences and say, this fence is going to be up for 28 days, but we're going to come back and take it down at the end of the month? What's the difference?
The difference is, under Cedar Point, that the county did not appropriate the owner's property for its own use or for the use of third parties, like took place in Cedar Point.
But in my fence hypothetical, the county just doing the same thing. It's, I mean, maybe it's for turtles. I don't know. It's for whatever. It's just like, look, we're going to build a fence around your property. It's going to be 20 feet high. You're not going to be able to get over it. We'll be back at the end of the month to take it down.
Well, I mean, I think if the county built a fence around someone's property, that likely would be.
But why? What's the difference? What's the difference? Here, the county basically drew a line in the sand.
Literally.
Yeah. And said, don't cross this line.
Right.
What's the difference between that and saying, we're building a large fence here, don't cross this fence?
Because the county didn't appropriate property for itself or a third party. I think that's the distinction.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, the fact that you had law enforcement,
enforcing the law.
Not enforcing, well.
Yeah.
You know, staging themselves on people's private property means Walden County kind of did use private property for itself for that 30-day, 29-day period. I mean, there's like pictures here showing somebody just waiting there using someone's private property.
Well, undeniably, there were officers, there was a sheriff's office, which was a separate constitutional entity, but there were code enforcement officers and lifeguards who were patrolling the beach and enforcing the ordinance. That's unquestionable.
Right. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Your Honor. I'll follow up on the appropriate, the word definition. And Chief Justice Roberts and Cedar Point addressed this very issue. Counsel kept saying they didn't appropriate it. Appropriate, as defined in Cedar Point, means to take as one's own. He said the county didn't take those four strands of the bundle as its own. Well, sure it did, because during those 29 days, the county dictated who could be on the property. It dictated who could not be on the property. The county used the property, and the county enjoyed it. So there was an appropriation. And it, the argument being made by the county is the exact same one that was in the dissent in Cedar Point. And in that case, in rejecting the dissent's argument, Chief Justice Roberts says, saying the appropriation of a three-hour per day, 120-day per year right to invade the grower's premises does not constitute a taking of a property interest, but rather a mere restriction on its use, is to use words in a manner that deprives them of all of their ordinary meaning. And that's what's happening here when they say no use was being deprived of the landowners. With respect to the takings issue, the Constitution doesn't sleep during times of emergency, pandemic or war. As y'all pointed out, it doesn't matter the purpose. During war times, property was taken, physically taken. Government had to pay compensation. That's the end of the analysis. And in this case, Your Honor, I would submit to you, as I mentioned earlier, this case is even more egregious than Cedar Point, because in Cedar Point, only the right to exclude was taken. The strawberry farmers and the grape farmers could be on their property beside the union people. They could still walk on their property. Here, the landowners could not. So this is even a more egregious case than Cedar Point. So with that, unless your honors have any more further questions, I would ask that I'll reverse the summary judgment granted to the county and direct the district court to grant summary judgment in favor of the appellates.
If we reverse it, would it not go back for damages or trial on damages or?
Yeah, well, we moved for summary judgment on the takings issue. That was denied, so that would need to be granted, and then the next step would be the damages, Your Honor.
Counsel,
yes, sir.
Question. Do you concede or not oppose his position that the government's motive or purpose is relevant only on a regulatory taking, not on a per se taking?
I don't think the government's motive in a taking is relevant at all. And I think that comes into the whole distinction between a due process takings analysis that's been rejected by the courts and a taking under the Fifth Amendment. So I would not say the motive comes into play at all in a takings analysis.
What's the best sign for regulatory taking?
For regulatory taking, it would be the Penn Central case itself. Let me see, Your Honor. The other case from temporary takings would be temporary takings. The Arkansas Game and Fish case from the United States, First Lutheran Church versus Los Angeles County. Thank you, Your Honor. Any further questions?
No. Thank you very much, both of you. Very interesting argument. We are adjourned for the day. Thank you.
All right.